This week's Parsha, we see and we learn about the incredible event of Maimon Har Sinai, receiving of the Torah. And the Pasuk says, Perek Chav, Pasuk Yedalid, V'chol Ha'am, Ro'em Es HaKolos. The entire nation were able to see the voices that were coming out, the sounds that existed at Maimon Har Sinai. And Rashi says, they were Ro'in, they were able to see that which normally is heard. Hashem spoke things out, and they were able to see the voices. I have a book at home that I'll bring in for show and tell next time. But they did an experiment where people would say certain words in Hebrew specifically, and they're able to freeze the pronunciation of the words, and they were able to see in the ice the letters of the Aleph Beis. It's almost incredible. And I'll show you the pictures. It was incredible. That in the voice, in the sound, you're able to see the words. The question is, why was a nes like that required when the Torah was given? So there's a story with Reb Chaim Volozhiner. Reb Chaim Volozhiner had a brother, Reb Zalman. And Reb Zalman once fell asleep in his brother, Reb Chaim Volozhiner's hands. So he was holding the head of Reb Zalman, and he said, I am holding the entire Torah in my hands. Reb Zalman knew the entire Torah, and he's holding the head of Reb Zalman, he's holding the entire Torah in his hands. So they asked him, oh, then what's the difference between your brother, who you say knows the entire Torah, and your Rebbe, the Vilna Gaon, who knew the entire Torah? What's the difference between the two? If the brother knows the entire Torah, so also Vilna Gaon, they were not on the same level, what's the difference? So Reb Chaim Volozhiner answered, he said, the difference is that the Vilna Gaon knew the Torah backwards as well. Okay, he didn't just know it all forwards, he knew it backwards as well. So they asked him, why is that like a, you know, if you know everything, then why is it like a higher level to know it backwards? You know it. So what's the difference? So he said as follows, he said, look, you say Ashrei 3 times a day, right? So yeah, say 3 times a day. Every day, right? For years and years and years. Okay, yeah. If I were to ask you to recite Ashrei backwards, would you be able to say Ashrei backwards? I said, no. Even though you say it every single day, 3 times a day, you know the whole song perfectly, but you wouldn't be able to say it backwards. What's the difference? The difference is that the Vilna Gaon, when he saw the Torah, he saw it as if it was right in front of him right now. So just like if you had a book in front of you, you'd be able to read the word backwards, right? The Gra had such a clarity of the entire Torah that it was as if it was in front of him at all moments, and he was able to read the whole thing backwards. And that's what was the greatness of his Rebbe, the Vilna Gaon. The Torah has to be clear to us like anything that, as if it's in front of us. We might have learned the Mishnah today, we might have learned the Pasuk, a Rashi, a Gemara, and we have it here. We can answer the questions on the test. We get hundreds on our tests. But do we have it in front of us as if the book is right open in front of us in our heads, that we can even say it backwards? For most of us, not. At least for me, not. That is a level of Torah that it's so clear to you that you're able to even recite it backwards. At Matan Torah, Bnei Yisrael needed to see the Torah crystal clear. No interpretations, no understandings. They saw it, the voice came out, and they were able to see it. It had to be, that miracle was required at Matan Torah in order to appreciate the clarity of what Torah really is, and they being able to understand it and perceive it as if it was written in front of them. So how do you get to such a level that you could understand something to such a, I mean, if you know it already, you know perfectly, you can answer any question, but what pushes someone to another level of clarity of understanding like that? So we all know that at times of Matan Torah, the Jewish people, when they were asked, do you want the Torah? They said, Na'aseh v'nishma. They said, we will do, and then we'll learn about it afterwards. All the other nations, when they were offered the Torah, they asked, what's in there? Tell me what's in there. And then they said they don't want it. The Jewish people, they said, look, we're not going to ask. Just, we'll do it. And Rashi brings, the Gemara brings in Masechta Shabbos and Daf Peches that they were rewarded for saying Nasa v'Nishma, that angels came down and put two crowns on their heads, one for Nasa and one for Nishma. It was an incredible event that the Jewish people accepted the Torah in such a way. But the Tosefta in Baba Kama and the Yalkut Shimoni in Tehillim, Siman Ayin Ches, say that on some level they deserve to be punished because they were gonev as daito shel makom. They stole the mindset of Hashem because they were not holding in a place that they're just going to do it and learn about it later on. As we see, not so long afterwards, they mess up. They said it, but they weren't really there. They weren't at that level to be able to behave as if like, yeah, we'll just do whatever you say no matter what, don't worry about it. So they were somewhat held accountable for that. So which one is it? Are they being rewarded? You all say, oh, Nasa v'Nishma, the Jews said Nasa v'Nishma, we sing about it on Shavuos, right? It's such an amazing thing that they did that. But on the other hand, they weren't holding there and they messed up very, very quickly afterwards. So which one is it? So the Chiddush Ha'arim says something fascinating. He says, yeah, they weren't holding on that level. And that's why maybe they should have gotten in trouble for it. And that's why they messed up afterwards. But the fact that they went ahead and said, we'll do it no matter what. What did it show? It showed how much they wanted it. They wanted it so badly. They wanted it so bad. The other nations, well, what's in there? Let me see. Let me think about it. That means you don't really want it. They said, look, we'll take it. We just want it so badly. That Hashem said, if you want it, then even if you're not holding on the level to necessarily keep it all, I'm going to give it to you. And they say over a mashal, we could all relate to this, that you want to go ahead and ask something from a parent or from someone older that has something that you want to get from them. So they say, look, you can't have it. Say, oh, please, I want it. No, I'm sorry, you can't have it. Please, I'm going to get 100 on every single one of my tests for the rest of the year if you give me the car tonight. 100 every test. Promise. And the parent knows that there is no chance. You haven't gotten over a 50. You're not going to get 100 on every single test. Not only 100 on every single test, I'm going to go to sleep every single night at 10 o'clock. I'm never going to go out. Just give me the car tonight. And also never ask you again for it, ever. Just tonight. Okay. Now, the father knows the kid is just promising and promising and promising, just whatever he can promise. He knows there's no chance that he's going to get even a close to 100 on the next test. He knows that tomorrow night he's not going to sleep at 10 o'clock, and he knows that next Saturday night he's going out again, right? But for some reason, the father gives it to him. Why? Because when you see your kid want it so badly, you see how badly they want it, that they're willing to just promise and say and say and say and say, you want him to have it. So too, Hashem saw that when we said, Nasa v'Nishma, we'll do it, we'll learn about the Torah later on. We're in. And they didn't start asking and asking and asking. That showed a level of ratzon, of desire, that they wanted so badly, that Hashem said, I'm going to go ahead and give it to you, even though you're not on this level. When a person has a very strong ratzon, so you're able to do things that you never, ever, ever would have dreamt is possible. We're able to go ahead and hit places that we turn around like, did I just do that? Like, I can't believe it. Many of us sitting here today, who would have thought we'd be sitting here in a Beis Medrash learning and we had a ratzon, and all of a sudden, you turn around. It's very important to turn around, by the way. Very important thing to do for our growth. Turn around and see where we've come from and where we are today. See how much we've grown. It's very, very, very important. But we'd also be shocked turning around saying, wow, I can't believe it. But you have a ratzon, you have that desire, you're able to go very, very, very far. I want to tell you a story. Now, this is a true story. I heard it once, and I had a hard time believing it. Okay, I like to see sources. It's very hard for me to hear stories and always believe it, unless like firsthand. But I heard that the person is buried in Har Menuchos, the cemetery here in Yerushalayim. I said, okay, look, if it's true, then I'll be able to find his grave. Right? So I found the grave, okay? And here's a picture of his tombstone. And I'm going to tell you what it says on the tombstone. If you don't believe me, I have it, okay? This is what it says. it says, can't read it. No. Okay, here it says, Po Nikbar, here the person is buried, Rabbi Eliezer Yosef, the son of Yitzchak Halevi Lederberg. Okay, here is buried Rabbi Eliezer Lederberg. Okay, here it's Torah Barabim, he taught many people Torah. Lamad, he learned, Vechazar, and he reviewed, Be'alpeh, by heart, Yoter, more than, Me'arbat alafim pam, more than 4,000 times, Masechtos, Beitza, v'Rosh Hashanah. Okay, it's on his grave here in Har Menuchos. He reviewed the Gemara. A lot of us here are learning Maseches Rosh Hashanah. Yeah. He reviewed Maseches Rosh Hashanah and Beitza over 4,000 times. Okay, he passed away, I think in 1954, I'm sorry. And there's a story behind this. Why did he review Beitza and Rosh Hashanah over 4,000 times? So he lived over here, close by, right outside the Old City, in the Bat de Varsha community, the border of Mea Sharim. And he once became sick, and he needed a head surgery. So the doctor told him that they're going to do the operation, but we're just telling you that after the operation, you most probably will not be able to see anymore. But if we don't do the operation, you're going to die. So we have to go ahead and do this head operation. So Rabbi Eliezer, he asked, he said, how long can I delay the surgery? So the surgeon told him we could wait 6 months, but no longer than that. Okay. So he had 6 months left till he knew that he was going to lose his vision. So over those 6 months, he learned Maseches Rosh Hashanah and Beitza by heart. So that when he goes blind, he'll be able to continue learning. So he spent the 6 months memorizing word for word Maseches Rosh Hashanah and Maseches Beitza. That's what he did all day long and memorized it. Okay. After the surgery, not only Baruch Hashem did he live for many more years, but he also didn't lose his eyesight. But he said that was his plan originally, to go ahead and learn these Masechtas. So every spare moment that he ever had, he reviewed Maseches Rosh Hashanah and Maseches Beitza. Again and again and again. And it came out that he ended up doing it over 4,000 times. And he wrote in his will that perhaps the fact that he reviewed this 4,000 times should be on his tombstone so that it could serve as a role model for other people. He wasn't, no one ever heard of this person. He wasn't a famous rabbi. He wasn't a big posek. As far as I know, no books, nothing. But he had this will. He had this ratzon, okay? He had an external reason that caused his will, right? He thought he was going to go blind, so this was his only option. But he had a ratzon. At the end of the day, he had a ratzon. His ratzon propelled him to go ahead and memorize a Gemara. Once he had that Gemara memorized, so any spare time, he was just able to review it again and again and again. Someone that does that, so it's going to be in front of you. It's going to be as if you're looking at it at all times. I would bet that he would have been able to say part of it backwards, if not all of it backwards, I don't know. But when you have a ratzon, no matter what the reason for that ratzon, the ratzon, the will, is able to push you very, 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 very far. So, B'nai Yisrael, they had that ratzon, they said Nasa V'Nishma, and because of that, they were zocheh to have a miracle at Har Sinai, that even the voices were crystal clear. They were able to see the words in the sky, able to see the Torah written out as if it was in front of them. That they were theoretically even able to read it backwards and forwards. So what does it mean to us? Okay, we're not having miracles right now where we could see things in the sky, but we have the ratzon. We have the will. We just have to see where our will is going to, what is our ratzon going to take us? And don't let our simple self tell, don't have that ratzon, don't want that. Want a lot. Shoot for the sky. Why not? You want to finish us? Finish us. Why can't you finish us? Why? Because you haven't done one mesechta yet? Who cares? Well, why should that matter? Everyone, before they finish their first mesechta, hasn't finished their first mesechta yet, right? But they're able to finish us. You want to go ahead and you want to help a tremendous amount of people? So help a tremendous amount of people. Don't let ourselves put a ceiling, a low ceiling, on what we want to accomplish. We have to put time into thinking, what do we want? What do we want? You want to memorize a Masechta? You can memorize a Masechta. Memorize a Mishnah. You can memorize a Mishnah. It's easy. It's easy. Memorize a Mishnah. Memorize a whole Masechta of Mishnayos. You can walk around. You just want to think about a Mishnah. You can say a Mishnah whenever you want. The same Mishnah, 50,000 times. Who cares? Know one Mishnah by heart. Everyone should at least know one Mishnah by heart. But we should have a lot more. We have, Hashem blessed us with so many kochos. We have so much potential, so many powers to do so much. Everything is at our fingertips to be able to learn Torah. It's so easy these days. Yes, sometimes long winters, man, day in and day out, it could be difficult. But we have the resources to be able to accomplish so much. And we have the ratzon. That is the most important resource that we have. So don't let that ourselves shoot us down. Don't lower ourselves. We should let our ratzon free. Let it go forward and forward and forward. And Be'ezus Hashem, we'll have a lot of help from Hashem to allow that ratzon to go forward for us to be able to accomplish tremendous, tremendous things. Shavua Tov.